This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show, which, of course, is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is show number 388. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also provided by Sage Summit, which is happening this week in Chicago. It's the largest conference for small and medium businesses in the world, with speakers such as Richard Branson, Gwyneth Paltrow, Zoe Deschanel, Ashton Kutcher, Damon John, and Robert Herjavec. Well, on today's show, the toughest time for some entrepreneurs is when they're immediately successful, but then as their business evolves, it starts to fail. Coming up, how to find the path to success again and again and again. Plus, how to collect customer reviews and references easily. Plus, we're going to talk about how to make PR affordable in your small business. But first, you know, I've never been very innovative as an entrepreneur. I was always the guy that saw a business and was able to make it better. But my first guest really is different. He's literally a startup idol. With 8 years as a designer and 4 as a studio head, Braden Olson has been recognized by Fortune magazine as one of 5 startup idols. Huffington Post also rated his work between the iPad and Gmail as one of the most important innovations of the year. And this was the year after he graduated from university. Braden, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Barry.
So tell us about this innovation.
Well, my whole career has been in the space of before, and some of your listeners might still not know the term gamification, but before gamification was even a word, I always had this vision of, you know, how could we apply game technology to improving something in the real world? And that had been my passion since I was 12. So the initial thought that I worked on was, how could we use games to behaviorally assess people and do a better job of helping, you know, kids find the right extracurriculars, or students find the right colleges, or graduates find the right jobs. But in addition to that, I've now worked on and just recently launched a new type of business school education where we model a real-world company and then put students into the shoes of senior executives so that they can experience it kind of like Flight Simulator for business.
Wow. And so that's really taking the whole case study thing really to the next level.
Absolutely.
And so tell us more about how that works.
Well, so, you know, it's kind of been this interesting process where, due to some of that earlier work that I'd done in the field, the University of Washington approached me to help them solve this problem. So they saw this whole old model of, you know, we've got the paper cases, which is great. We've got real information we're exposing the students to, but we're totally losing the engagement to them and their cell phones. You know, it's just not where they're at anymore. And so we came in with this solution where, you know, we'd turn it into a game. So these are interactive simulations. You know, you step into the shoes of a character and fill that role, but you're actually tackling the situations and circumstances and decisions that those senior executives really face. So we've just seen phenomenal success early on. We've got 32 schools that have adopted, you know, Stanford, Penn State, you know, University of Washington, University of Texas, Florida International. It's been so great. And I think the professors are ready. You know, you think of some of these traditional industries as being really resistant, but, you know, they want better tools for their students. And I think we're going to see transformation in education.
And Braden, we use simulators to train people on all sorts of things. Why not simulators for training people in entrepreneurship, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's probably one of the next cases we're going to be building.
So one of the things that you've really done a lot in your career, you've kind of been at the intersection between policy and entrepreneurship. And of course, this being a presidential year, and of course, President Obama coming out recently with, you know, wanting to raise the minimum wage, making sure there's overtime. And with last month, Britain leaving the European Union. What is really the effect does policy really have on entrepreneurship, I guess, domestically and worldwide?
Yeah, you know, I think it's surprising because in a lot of cases, entrepreneurs see this as maybe something inaccessible or something that doesn't really impact them. But, you know, for instance, with the Brexit, you know, right away, 10% of London's wealth evaporated. Their currency plummeted more so than it has since it became a floating currency. You know, the next day, the Dow drops 400 points. That makes it harder for us to come by financing. You know, and it does impact us. In fact, when Britain introduced their SEIS, EIS tax credits, which was this great program where the government was basically saying, hey, investors, put money into startups and we will let you write that off on your taxes. There was a massive inflow of, I mean, we, you know, my American U.S. company raised money from British investors and decided to set up a permanent branch over there. You know, when you're talking about, you know, minimum wage and, you know, Obamacare and healthcare going up, you know, that changes how we have to operate as small business owners. We think about, you know, how do we get more out of fewer employees? There's just, you know, on and on and on, one thing after another. I mean, it changes every little aspect of our business. And we don't have, you know, a Startup of America lobbying group that I'm aware of. So it really falls on us to be active in some way or another. And it impacts our business, too.
So what should a small business entrepreneur do, because they barely have enough time to run their own business and there's all these regulations coming their way?
Fair enough. You know, I think the minimum one thing that you could do, if you could only do one thing, is just become friends with one of your elected officials, whether that's your city council member or your mayor or your representative or your senator. You'd be surprised, first off, how open they are. But you'd also be surprised the kind of opportunity that comes from that. I mean, I know that there's a, you know, small startup company here that basically had connected in with the same city council members I know. I kind of helped push something that they were looking for. But how it ended up is these guys got $1 million from Google because our senator brought them the connection, and then got them a subsidized office space to build an incubator in Bellevue. So basically, they can charge below market rent, they're making money, and they got $1 million from Google, all because they had, you know, two or three conversations with their local representatives. So, you know, it can seem like a bunch of extra time, but really just one friendship, and then at least you're in the loop when these things are happening locally for you.
Now, you know, you're a startup idol. What do you think makes the difference between the startups, Braden, that succeeds and doesn't succeed? What's that key part?
Oh, well, you know, to your own point and on bounce, failure, resilience, and the confidence to achieve your next great success, you know, I think you're right. Sometimes there's just an element of it being the life cycle. You know, right place, right time. You know, and very brilliant people. I mean, obviously, the first company that Richard Branson did, or Elon Musk did, or Sam Walton, who created Walmart, or Walt Disney did, I mean, they're all failures. I mean, even Gates, everyone thinks his first company was Microsoft, but it was Trafo Data. So, you know, gosh, if people who are that smart have failures, I think you just have to learn to be resilient. I think you just have to understand that it's part of the life cycle. But those people don't give up. They look at whatever happened, and they don't make the same failures twice. So I think if there's one thing you can do, it's to just make sure you're in that rare company that makes mistakes, fails gloriously, but doesn't do the same thing again.
And so how do you make sure that you're not so invested in one startup that you can let it go and move on to something else? Because I think for a lot of startup entrepreneurs, it's difficult to say to themselves, okay, I guess this one's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've got your heart and your soul and your money and, you know, your friends and everything tied into it, your reputation. I mean, it can be it can be incredibly difficult, you know, and it's kind of like talking about your own child in a sense, except fortunately it's not. But, you know, I think you just have to, try and step away and remember that, you know, I remember from my own experience, there was a time where my name was almost synonymous with the name of my company in my own mind. And that's just a really unhealthy way to be, you know, and I thought that for sure was going to be, you know, what I do for the rest of my life. And I would have missed out on so much in my future if that had been the case. So I think we really have to define ourselves as the person, you know, and as the entrepreneur and not the business. And if we define ourselves as the business, we run the risk of just losing all objectivity. But as long as we define ourselves as the entrepreneur and we build our self-worth in who we are and not who our business is, I think we can look objectively at our businesses the same way that other people do and make better decisions on whether it's working or not.
Great. In the last 30 seconds we have, we just got tweeted that someone says that, I don't know if you're the same Braden Olson that thinks they're the Christian Grey. Are you the same one?
I certainly don't think that. But a while ago, yes, I was compared to the protagonist from Fishers Grey. Some of that has to do with just my reputation as a local young business leader in Seattle. So the media made that comparison, but Parallel is really just a playful one.
All right. Another reason to listen. And Braden, thanks so much for being on the show.
All right.
All right. Take care. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your roadways. All lanes remain blocked on the outbound side of I-57 at Halstead due to a serious injury crash. Again, all lanes blocked out on I-57 at Halstead due to an injury accident. The Bishop Ford is your good alternate as all lanes are wide open on the Bishop Ford both in and out. No complaints on the Edens. The Kennedy, free and clear. Express lanes are closed for overnight road work until 8 a.m. The Eisenhower and Stevenson, Dan Ryan, all moving along at the posted speed limit. Lakeshore Drive is wide open. We do have a couple of problems. If you're headed north on the Tri-State, the exit ramp at Cicero is partially blocked with police activity. In Chicago's Loop at Wells and Wacker, a car slammed into a support beam. For today, mostly cloudy this morning with scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon. It's hot and steamy, high 93. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You know, the world didn't stop while you slept. Get the first look at what's happening around the world and here at home.
Scene of a plane crash in the remote French Alps.
With Don't This Morning there. With Gordon Deal.
Cruz told CNN that he will follow the text of the law.
It's the breaking news and business information you'll need to start your day.
Here now with a look at some of the stories we're following.
Each weekday morning, starting at 4, right before Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
Is your business stuck in a rut?
Wish you had the tools and know-how to unlock its full potential?
Head to Sage Summit, July 25th through 28th in Chicago for the tools, training, and connections that will help you get your business marching forward. Hear from visionary speakers like Sir Richard Branson, Gwyneth Paltrow, and the stars of ABC's Shark Tank. Sign up for mentoring with business leaders and industry experts. Register at sagesummit.com by July 15th for only $99 with promo code GETUNSTUCK. That's sagesummit.com. Get unstuck. See you there.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I'm telling you right now, it's awesome. I was trying to get my blood pressure regulated, okay? And after 3 days of taking this thing, my blood pressure went back down to normal. I am ecstatic. I am so happy with this stuff. It is my savior.
Well, I had back pain for the last 40 years. 4 days after I started taking this stuff, it's gone.
This was the first summer that I have not had to have a steroid shot to help me to breathe.
The reason why I'm taking it because I've got Hep C. Once I began taking your stuff, it took a few months. But believe it or not, my liver enzymes are way down and it's normal now. It works.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code Chicago.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
The toughest time for some entrepreneurs is when they are immediately successful, but then as their business evolves, it actually starts to fail. The most difficult task is to find a path to success again. My next guest did just that. Jessica Ma is the founder and CEO of Indinero, which helps entrepreneurs with all their accounting and tax needs. She has grown Indinero from zero to a multi-million dollar business with over 100 full-time employees, has been featured in Forbes and Inc.'s 30 Under 30 list. The company has raised over $10 million to date. Jessica lives in San Francisco, California. She's an IRS-enrolled agent, a ham radio operator, and a private pilot. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Well, this is the first time I've actually had that combination of the three in 1,000 interviews. So which do you like best?
I'd say the flying's the best for sure.
I mean, I've had to get over the fear of flying, so I don't think I'll be flying with you anytime soon. So I think a lot of small businesses, you know, they have some success and they think they're on their way. Then they have a failure, and it's really hard to get back on that path to success. How did you do it, and what recommendations do you have for people traveling the same journey?
Yeah, well, I'd say that being an entrepreneur is just really, really difficult, right? So first of all, it's a lot of expectation setting. I came in swinging. I thought everything would be great, business would be amazing, and I'd be sipping a pina colada sitting on the beach 2 years in.
Absolutely,
and when
we
that
all do.
Wasn't the case. Yeah, we
surprise,
all do.
Surprise, surprise.
That is not how it usually happens, though, right?
That's right.
And I started, you know, confessing my challenges with my entrepreneur friends and telling them the truth, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, like things aren't as good for me either," but we don't usually talk about that, right? So that was, like, really how I got through that first. But just for some background, how did we get into that mess? When we first started the business, we wanted to help businesses with their accounting, but we were more of a DIY solution. So we were cheap, we were easy, but we weren't making any money because we weren't solving a real problem for our customers. People don't want to do their accounting by themselves. They want to pay a little more money and have it done for others. So 2 years into the business, I had to meet with more customers. I had to figure out what are the real problems they're facing. And then I went to actually solve them. And then we realized, all right, now we have a real business now. So that's the short summary.
And it's interesting because we know that every small business owner needs help with their accounting because small business owners are horrible at it and they hate doing it. There's some great software tools out there to actually help you in a DIY, but somehow it doesn't get done, right?
Yeah, because even if it's DIY and it's affordable, business owners, especially the smaller businesses, they don't have the skill set for it. They don't want to do it, and they're better at doing their craft or whatever. So what we realized is it's just better for us to target businesses who want to offload this completely, and we'll take care of it for them, and it'll actually get done right. So that discovery only came from me meeting with dozens and dozens of our actual customers. I went to their office. I went to watch them use my solution, and then I'd get feedback and my novel insights that way. I couldn't just say, hey, what do you want? I'd have to actually see what they did and figure that out myself.
So how do you get, and this has been always been one big problem of mine, how do you get small business owners to give two hoots about their financial statements? Because it's so critical. But at the same time, they're so busy doing other stuff, they really don't learn how to read a financial statement and use it to run their business.
I think that we went first from talking to people in a more negative way. We're like, look, you have to do it because if you don't, then here are the consequences. But now I think we're moving towards a better world where we're saying, hey, there are actually so many like benefits from it. Like, we're going to help you like save a lot of money. We're going to help you make more money this way. We're going to help you do your cash planning here. We're going to help you be able to raise more funding from the bank or from your investors, you know, if you change some things with your financial statement. So that gets people excited about it. I think that's really the key here, showing people the potential of it. Like, hey, don't you want to know how well your different product lines are performing? Don't you want to see how well your different locations, like your store downtown versus uptown, are doing and performing against each other? That gets people excited, and that's, I think, a lot more effective than saying, hey, you got to know what's going on or else your business is going to go down in flames. But that's just not as compelling for people.
So we're talking with Jessica Ma. She's the founder and CEO of Indinero. Jessica, one of the things that you've done successfully that it's hard for some small businesses is to really raise money as a service-oriented business. Tell us how you did that.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'd say I actually decided that we wanted a picture business as a software and service blend. So So if it's a pure service business with no intellectual property and no technology, it's really hard to raise funding for that because there are plenty of other service businesses out there. So we just had to sprinkle in our own intellectual property and really make the case for how this would be a really, really big business in the next 5-10 years. And people bought into that. I mean, a lot of no's. I still get no's, but that's just part of the business, right?
I'm actually wearing a shirt on the radio today. You can't. I don't know if you can see it because I know we're on the radio. It says, "I eat no's for breakfast. I'm an entrepreneur."
I love it. That's a great shirt.
It is good. Now, you also talk about that you run and grow a company successfully with no bosses or managers. How do you do that? And if you could tell me how you can do it with no customers, I'd really be interested.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on the customer one. But for no bosses or managers, I think that there's got to be a good intermediate solution here, right? You don't want to have a completely bossless and leaderless company on one hand. But the traditional mold of having managers running the show takes away from the creative energy of a company, right? You want your lowest level employees to stand up and take leadership more. So that's really what we're pushing for. We're trying to get them to run the meetings. We're trying to get them to like run certain projects and take full ownership over certain parts of the company where they're effectively a mini CEO. So we're training everyone in our company to be mini CEOs to run the show. But, you know, there's still a concept of leadership and hierarchy in the business. It's just far more subtle than it'd be at, say, a Fortune 500 company.
And that's really a trick to balance those two things because you want people to take initiative. At the same time, you want them to follow the brand and process of the business, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'd say as long as we say, hey, here are the top three numerical metrics that we're shooting for you to achieve this quarter, and here's the one goal that I need you to focus on. As long as you get that done, then you can take initiative on all other things you want. As long as they know what they're fighting for, then everything kind of comes in a lot easier. That's the secret as far as I've seen it.
Now, in your background, do you have a finance or accounting background? Because as far as I can see, you're just an IRS agent, a ham radio operator, and a private pilot.
I come from a computer science background, actually. So I'm really more on the tech side. And I knew that I'd need to supplement my skill set with people who knew accounting and taxes. So I mean, we employ dozens and dozens of actual CPAs and tax experts here. And they do a lot better job of that than I ever can.
And I think that's a really important point, Jessica, because when you're starting a business, you got to know what you know and what you don't know, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people, either they try to do everything themselves, or I think what's even worse is you think you're really good at something. Like for me, like, you know, I was a really good programmer. That meant that I was at risk not delegating that away soon enough because I'm like, oh, well, I don't need to hire anyone. I can do it myself. So even the things you're good at, you know, how do we delegate that out faster?
So this is, Jessica, a very competitive space. What is really your end game? What's really next?
Well, we're competing against a lot of old and slow-moving accountants and accounting firms, and I think that's actually really exciting because we're finally pushing this industry forward. And so we're in this for the long haul. We're trying to build a really big company here, and I talked to a lot of entrepreneurs about their end goal, and a lot of them, they're in a rush. They want to flip it. They want to move on quickly, but I tell them, hey, like, there's so much learning potential from aiming to build a 10, 20, 30-year business. So that's what we're in this for. We want to go big and go long.
And so why do you want to go big and long? Aren't your investors looking to get out?
Well, there are ways to get the investors out,
right,
if you go big and long, right? You could buy them out. You could take something public. There are a whole bunch of different ways to still give them a return. And that's the common fallacy I hear all the time. Like, oh, well, if you take investor money, you got to sell. That's absolutely not true. The best investor return companies don't sell. They go public, actually. So that's something I'm also trying to educate other people on.
So if people want to get in touch with Jessica, how can they do that?
Just shoot me a note at CEO@Indinero.com or find me on Twitter at Jessica Ma.
And Indinero spelled Indinero.com. Jessica, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.
Coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk about how to get your small business unstuck. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Marxists, socialists, and communists forget. The government doesn't have any money.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
Except money it took from someone who is producing money. Government creates no money. The only way the government has money is if it took it from one of us. And so the only way that it would have money to give these people is if it took more from the other people. Thus, Marxism, communism.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. Thousands of residents in California trying to get out of the way of two wildfires gobbling up bone-dry brush and canyons, and in the so-called sand fire north of Los Angeles, a dead body.
The body was discovered within a burned area within the fire. However, we are not aware at this time if the body was burned or anything to that effect.
L.A. County Deputy Trina Schrader. Blazing hot temperatures making fighting those fires difficult. The heat waves moving east with sweltering conditions Monday in Philadelphia as the Democrats kick off their convention. Several protests planned over a variety of issues.
Perhaps the biggest clamor will be made about Bernie Sanders. The Vermont senator said during the primary process that his supporters would have much to say come convention time. We'll see that starting today.
Fox's Grinnell Scott. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your roadways. The outbound side of I-57 remains closed at Halstead due to an injury accident. Use the Bishop Ford as your alternate. The rest of the expressways moving along at a really good clip. North on the Tri-State, Cicero exit ramp partially blocked with police activity. This report is brought to you by CC's Pizza. Can you believe it? CC's now has three stuffed crust pizzas, original pepperoni, new pretzel, and new bacon stuffed. Try them all and your other CC's favorites for just $5 and change. The CC's buffet just got better. Believe it. Today, partly cloudy skies in the morning, giving way to thunderstorms scattered this afternoon. Very hot and steamy with a high of 93. Currently cloudy skies and 73 degrees downtown Chicago. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-9600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up? Holla at your boy.
XOXOXO. You getting these texts? Question mark. Where are you? What are you doing? OMG, you are making me mad. You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, marketing gold for any small business are great reviews of their product or service. The problem is most small business owners hate to ask for them. Here to help is Doran Aldana, who is the CEO and president of Testimonial Engine, a software for helping service-based businesses collect and share client reviews on autopilot. As a result of his clients' extraordinary success, he has won the prestigious Best Industry Service Provider, been awarded that three times in a row. Doran, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Barry.
So why are small business owners so hesitant to go out and get reviews?
Well, frankly, we are a mysterious breed, us human beings, so I don't know if I could tack it down for every instance, but I think the majority could be covered in two scenarios. Either A, it's just not on their radar. They're too busy being busy, and it's not really in their conscious mind as to how mission-critical reviews are. So that's becoming few and far between because more and more entrepreneurs, business owners are getting that it's mission critical because Google and their local search algorithms are all geared towards that review component. And if you don't have a lot of positive reviews, chances are you're not going to show up in the local search and you're going to miss out on a lot of business. So a lot of people are starting to get that.
Plus, people really trust reviews from people they don't know, right?
Absolutely. In fact, studies show they trust an online review as much as a personal recommendation from a friend, family, or colleague. And furthermore, they trust and believe a online review 12 times more than a review or a submission or a publication from the marketer themselves. 12 times more. So obviously, this is something we cannot afford to neglect. And I think the other reason, Barry, why a lot of people, mortgage or business owners are having a difficult time making this a priority or not following through on it, is they just simply don't have a system. So it seems like a lot of hard work. It's perhaps a little mysterious for some people. They're not sure how to do it, or they tried it before and it didn't really pan out, or they tried it before and they got a bunch of negative reviews, which was counterproductive. So they just threw the whole thing out and said, forget it. I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing. So I think that's probably the main reasons why they're not having success with reviews.
So tell me about the system that you have with Testimonial Engine, how small business owners can use it.
Yeah, well, it all kind of came out of a problem. Like most entrepreneurs, we are problem solvers, and if we didn't have problems to solve, we wouldn't be in business. And this software came out of the problem called, we know it's mission critical to get reviews. We know it's the way of the future. We know it's the way consumers are making decisions before they buy. Everyone and their dog now is searching for reviews before they actually make a purchase decision. And we know that it's something we need to make a priority, but it's dang hard if you don't have a system. I mean, you're sending out emails, people aren't responding, or you're sending out things in the mail, people aren't sending them back. And so we had the problem called not getting people to do what we want them to do, which is send through five-star reviews. And so being the entrepreneur mind I am, I came up with this idea with a partner, and we launched the Testimonial Engine in 2014. And the whole premise of it is, we need a system that's easy breezy lemon squeezy, Barry, to be able to capture these reviews where the client does not require an account. And that's the big problem with asking for a review directly to Google or directly to Facebook or directly to Yelp or any other review site, is if you're sending out an email, for example, asking for a review, when they click that link, they're sent to a page where they have to actually register an account if they don't already have one as a prerequisite just to submit a review. So as you can imagine, that dramatically suppresses response. So what we did with the Testimonial Engine is we set it up so that we can capture the review first, and we make it easy. We remove all the razor wire, we grease the chute, and we make it easy for them to submit a review. Now, once they've submitted the review and they're in the heat of wanting to sing your praises. In fact, we know that because they just submitted a positive review. Then we asked them on the thank you page to copy and paste that review they just submitted, and we data merge it right on the page so they don't have to come up with it again. It's right there. They add it to their clipboard, and then we invite them to add it to one, two, or three review sites that you as the business owner pre-select in your dashboard that you want to build your reputation on, such as your Google My Business account, which is mission critical if you want to get optimized for local search, because that's what most people are using is Google, or Yelp, or Facebook, or any number of other review sites. So that's kind of the secret sauce, Barry, to getting more reviews on the review sites, is ask for the review in a method and means by which the client does not need the account to submit the review, and then ask them to copy and paste after they've done so. But that's only if it's a positive review. If it's a negative review, we want to do damage control. We want a system that creates a bit of a firewall, if you will, to prevent these negative reviews from getting put online and tarnishing your online reputation. So that's why we have a separate, dedicated, custom-branded negative review page that is quarantined, it's private, it's confidential, and that's where you can get feedback from the client. What went wrong? How can you fix it? You get notification by SMS and or text, and you can be all over it like white on rice and do damage control. And studies show that 7 out of 10 consumers will do business with a business again after submitting a complaint if it's rectified swiftly.
Doran, we're out of time for this segment. If you want to reach Doran, go to www.mytestimonialengine.com. Doran, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, my pleasure.
All right. Next, we're going to show you how to make PR affordable for your business and get the results you need. Is AM560 the answer?
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. All lanes remain blocked on the outbound side of I-57 at Halstead after an earlier injury accident. Your alternate is to hop onto the outbound side of the Bishop Ford instead. The rest of the expressway is moving along at a really good clip north on the tri-state. The exit ramp to Cicero partially blocked with police activity. If you're traveling in Northbrook, on Waukegan Road between Walters Avenue and Sherman Road, only 2 lanes are open due to a water main break and a partial road collapse. In Bannockburn, the intersection of Telegraph Road and North Avenue is blocked with flooding. And in Big Rock, US 30 shut east and west between Davis Road and Dobberman Road because of a tree that fell across the roadway. Partly cloudy this morning with scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Hot and steamy, a high at 93. Currently cloudy and 74 downtown. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications.
Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
For decades, maybe even centuries, entrepreneurs have been recognized for being the biggest player in the industry. But no one recognizes the folks who have the courage to challenge industry norms. Well, that's what the Rule Breaker Awards is about. And you can vote for the biggest rule breaker right now. Go to rulebreakerawards.com. That's rulebreakerawards.com to vote for the entrepreneur you think is the biggest rule breaker. That's rulebreakerawards.com.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
All small business owners want to get PR, but unfortunately, most of them can't afford to put a firm on retainer. My next guest makes PR affordable for all of us. Julia Hutton launched Orca Communication in 2002 after a 40-year career in various facets of corporate public relations. Julia, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Barry.
So what's the best time for a startup or an entrepreneur to start thinking about a PR campaign?
That's an excellent question and one that comes up relatively frequently. The answers are, if your service or product, if you have access to a really fast turnaround for your service or product, in other words, you've got your manufacturing all set up and able to respond, you're ready for public relations, but you also may be ready a little bit before that, because a good public relations campaign is not something that just happens. It's not spontaneous combustion. It's something that takes some background work, and it's just like building a house. First, you have to have the foundation, and then the framing, and, you know, there's various stages of developing a good public relations campaign.
So what you're saying is you start as soon as possible, but then a lot of people, when they do this, Julia, they kind of reach for the star to say, okay, I'm going to want to get my thing on one of those national morning TV shows like Good Morning America or Today Show. How hard is that?
Actually, it's not all that difficult. Of course, it depends on the product or service, but it's not all that difficult if the product or service solves a problem. And these programs, these national programs that you mentioned, are constantly looking for new products that solve problems. And so just depending on what you have, it depends on that, whether or not you can.
So, Julia, give us an example of how you would actually do that. Who do you contact, and how often do you follow up, and how do you know if they're interested or not?
Well, okay, so the first thing that we do, I mean, we have at Orca, we have fantastic databases for the media. And so our publicists go in and figure out what the spin is going to be. That's what we say in public relations anyway. What are some of the strong points about this product? And then they go ahead and get into our computer. And lo and behold, they come up with all the media that's interested in this type of product. In other words, we're always searching for the sweet spot with media for our clients.
And so I guess you've seen a lot of products kind of come and go over the years. What differentiates the ones that are successful PR and the ones that just kind of fall flat and you never hear from them again?
Those are the ones that don't have PR. The ones that have PR, usually I'm speaking, that if a company has decided to go forth with a PR program, likely they'll be more successful than if they don't.
So, Julia, can you actually do PR yourself, or do you find that you've really got to find some PR professionals? Because a lot of people say, well, I'll just go on Twitter and Facebook, and I'll get the word out myself.
I think it's better to get a public relations firm, and the reason I say that is because, and especially at Orca, our publicists are from the media. They're formerly producers, et cetera. And so they walk the walk and they talk the talk. They understand how media works. They understand how advertising, marketing works. So a lot of people with a startup company are not able to, I don't understand those things, and they're behind the eight ball, and that's why I recommend an agency if you possibly can afford it. Which leads me to my next point, and we've talked about this before, and that's the expense involved in public relations. It can be very expensive. However, at Orca, we have actually devised and trademarked some systems that are terribly effective, and they're very affordable.
So tell us about those.
Well, what we do is we group some of our clients together in a package, as long as they are not competitive products. But let's talk about pet products. Let's say we have a brand new collar out that has a flashing light on it, and a new leash that has flashing lights on it, and this great new dog food that gets rid of fleas, and we also have some elimination products and so forth. But none of them are competitive with each other. They all support one another. We get these types of products into a group, and then the group pays for it. It's like cooperative.
Sounds like a good idea.
Of cost, right.
Sounds like a good idea. And so what does that cost usually entail then if you're grouped together?
Well, it depends on how big the group becomes. We don't keep adding money onto it. If a group has three people in it, it has businesses in it, it has three. Or if it has 10, it has 10.
So what would it cost, Julie, in the case you have three or 10?
Three people probably would cost about $5,000 for 3 months or something mm-hmm. like that.
All right, Julia, thanks so much for being on the show. If you want to meet Julia, it's www.orcacommunications.com. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Coming up, meet one of the fabulous speakers of the Sage Summit Small Business Event coming up this week in Chicago. This is AM560. The Answer. Be right back.
Is your business stuck in a rut?
Wish you had the tools and know-how to unlock its full potential?
Head to Sage Summit, July 25th through 28th in Chicago for the tools, training, and connections that will help you get your business marching forward. Hear from visionary speakers like Sir Richard Branson, Gwyneth Paltrow, and the stars of ABC's Shark Tank. Sign up for mentoring with business leaders and industry experts. Register at sagesummit.com by July 15th for only $99 with promo code GETUNSTUCK. That's sagesummit.com. Get unstuck. See you there.
The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows
to a crawl.
This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years. Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
Global unrest, political uncertainty, economic policy changes. If only you had a crystal ball to predict how the stock market's going to perform, what would that look like? You'd have all your finances in top shape and be prepared for anything the market throws at you. Sound impossible? Not with Online Trading Academy. They'll help you get all the inside info to make those informed decisions so you can become your own expert. It's easy to get started. Just call 888-984-TRADE to receive 2 free passes to a half-day workshop at Online Trading Academy's Lombard Training Center. You'll learn how to start calling the shots so you can make money when the markets go up, down, or sideways. Again, this is a free seminar with limited seating, so call now, 888-984-TRADE, or register online at otaclass.com. Mention AM560 and get a free home video study course valued at $247 just for attending. Learn from the pros and reserve your seat today.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
All right, well, congratulations. You're a small business owner. Now what? Lots of people have the dream to own a company, but once they hit the start button, they're not quite sure what to do next. Here to help is Desiree Young, who's the founder of VentureWalk, a forward-thinking business and entrepreneur development firm. As a Boston University grad and former mechanical engineer, Desiree used her experience in problem-solving to build brands and businesses. She has advised businesses in over 27 different industries and helped raise over $5.9 million in funding. She's got a new ebook. It's called Pitch to Win, How to Win Contests, Attract Clients, and Get Contracts. Desiree, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. I appreciate it.
So now that I'm a small business owner, what do I do next?
Yeah, that's always the big question. And the truth is, there is a plan and there's a system for it. The truth is, relative to where you are, can absolutely tell you what you should do next. And I believe there are three stages, and that's what I'll be talking about at the Sage Summit, just what those three stages are, how to know where you are, and then how to know what to do.
All right, so the Sage Summit is coming up this week in Chicago. It's the largest conference for small and medium business. You'll be speaking there. I'll be speaking there. Richard Branson will be speaking there. Gwyneth Paltrow, Zooey Deschanel, Ashton Kutcher, Damon John, and Robert Herjavec. Tell us, give us a preview about these three things.
Absolutely. So I love animals, and as a result, I've identified these three stages relative to kind of this wildlife, kind of animal kingdom idea. So there's certainly what people call startup, but I call it the rabbit phase. It talks about exactly what's usually happening. You're jumping about. There's no rhyme or reason, and there is a focus there. Normally the focus is on selling, but I'll go into even more. The second phase is actually the turtle phase. Most people don't think about slowing up to speed up, but that is the better objective, and I'll talk about what to do there. And then finally, there's the thoroughbred, where everyone may or may not even get to. Honestly, a very small percentage of businesses get to this stage at all, but what you do in the first two can tell if you're ever going to get to the thoroughbred stage where you really get to choose. Are you looking for an exit strategy, and what in the world does that mean?
Desiree, where do people usually get stuck? Do they usually get stuck in the rabbit phase or the turtle phase?
Well, you know, this is an interesting question, Barry, because people assume that the stuckness occurs in one stage or one phase or another. Actually, there is the ability to get stuck at all three. There are pros and cons to every single stage, and the truth is, whether you're a new business or even existing business, you may be in any one of these three stages.
And I love the idea of the turtle stage because I find that so many people can actually grow themselves broke, don't you think?
I do. I do believe that, you know. And it's funny because I have a client that recently we had gone through one round of funding. We were looking for another round, and it kind of came to pass to understand you cannot borrow your way through growth. And that is a big deal. So we're going to talk about the real types of capital that exist. Money is only one. There are really three types of capital. And how, you, just as you mentioned, how do you really identify what you need to grow?
Well, Desiree, we're really looking forward to seeing you at the Sage Summit. Where can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
Absolutely. The best way is going to be via my website, which is venturewalk.com. I'm likewise on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn and on Twitter.
At Desiree Young, right?
That's correct.
Desiree, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Barry.
And thanks all of you for joining us on this week's radio show. I want to thank our sponsors, Sage Summit, again, coming up this week at McCormick Place and Nextiva. Also want to thank our staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being successful this year, you got to give me a call, 773-837-8250, or send me an email, barry@maltz.com. Isn't this the year that you get your small business unstuck? Isn't this the year you finally make the money you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust the few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
If you're a business owner,